Well, there's good news tonight. Angela and Pilar are here. I know you'll want to see them. We love them. We're grateful that they're a part of this congregation, a part of the work that we're trying to do, the biggest part, the work that we're trying to do. And we thank them for taking the lead in bringing so many people to Christ. And we have some important news. Harold Farmer is back in the hospital. He has lots of problems, but among those is his breathing, and we need to remember him in our prayers. The family asks that we pray, and that's what we're going to do right now. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask you please to look down upon your son Harold. We ask you, Father, to bless him and give him strength. We ask you, Father, to give him comfort. We ask you to be with his family and Darlene and the rest of the girls and all who are worried about him, and we ask you to comfort them as only you can. We ask you, Father, for the peace that passes understanding, and we ask you for the victory that's in Jesus. Please be with this family, be with this man, be with our brother. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two men that are called Judas among the apostles. Luke and John call the Judas we're talking about, you know the one, the famous one, the traitor. He was called Judas Iscariot. The other man, Judas, Luke and John call him Judas, but they call him Judas, the brother of James. That would probably be James the Less, because there were two Jameses among the apostles, James the brother of John and James the brother of Judas, or James the Less, or little James, depending on how you want to look at it. Matthew and Mark called the same man Thaddeus. We know that because he's in the same place on the list, and there's no Thaddeus in Luke and John. The other Judas was Judas Iscariot, the traitor. This apostle we'll think of as Judas Thaddeus, the brother of James. His name is listed as James, the brother of Thaddeus, in each list. But not in each list, in two of the lists. Maybe because of the stigma that went with the traitor. There was actually one of the evidences that we know that the gospel is true is the name Jesus was a very popular name before the first century. But somewhere in the middle of the first century, it fell out of favor. And most people did not name their sons Jesus. Christians didn't because they thought it was too much. Too much, you shouldn't be wearing his name in that way. And the enemies of Christ despised that name, and so it fell out of favor. Another name that fell out of favor about the same time was Judas. It was a popular name. It's probably the complete name of the brother of Jesus named Jude that we call in the Bible. It's one of those smaller evidences, but let you know something important happened with these names. Names like Paul and Peter and John became more popular than they were even before. And there's a reason for that, and you know what it is. Judas the traitor quit. He gave up on Jesus, betrayed him. But this Judas stayed. We're going to imagine tonight that we found him. History tells us that he died in Persia. That would be our Iran. He died a martyr's death, as almost all of the apostles did. We're going to pretend that we found him the night before he's going to be put to death. The guard told us, if you'd have come tomorrow, you wouldn't have seen him, because his life is about over. We find him chained to a pillar in front of a pagan temple, because tomorrow he's going to be part of the grand ceremony of honoring their false god and trying to put down this new religion that's among them. We're granted a short interview with him. He's rather obscure in the New Testament. We only have his name listed in the Gospels, and we have one conversation he had with Jesus. It's in John. We'll read that before we begin our interview. It's in John chapter 14, and Jesus has just got through telling them that in verse 18 and following, he said, "I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but when the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, comes, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." We meet Thaddeus. He looks pretty bad. He's been abused. His lips are swollen. His eyes are black. You can tell he's in pain, but he welcomes the conversation. We call him the steady one or the steadfast one because of this conversation. Steadfast is a combination of two words. Stead means a place, as in the old homestead. And fast means it's connected, attached, fixed, firmly attached to a spot. With Thaddeus, that spot is Jesus. It seems like he starts in the middle of a conversation. He looks at us and he said, "I asked the wrong question. I ask, how will you come to me?" I wanted to know how, but I needed to know when. Jesus answered me. At first, it was a confusing answer because it was not the question that I asked. He said, "If you'll keep my words, because God loves you, he will come to you." Earlier, Jesus had said, "The pure in heart will see God." You see, I wouldn't have understood what his answer would have been if he had answered me the question I asked. How could I possibly understand how God does anything? How could I understand how God put my spirit in me? How would I understand how he put his spirit in me? And so he gave me the answer I needed instead of the one I asked for. We wouldn't understand how he comes if he'd have told us. What we need to know is when he comes and who comes. Jude, the brother of the Lord, said it another way. In his letter, he says in verse 3, "The one who endures stays." Look how he says it. "Beloved, being very eager to write to you of our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you to contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. In verse 17 of his little letter, he also says, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last days there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. And these are those who set up divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourself up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And convince some who doubt. Save some by snatching them out of the fire. On some have mercy with fear, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." What the Lord was telling me that day, and telling you as you read John's account, is that those of us who endure stay, and the one who loves endures. Like when you got married, better or worse, sickness or in health, you keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll finish the race. The writer of Hebrews said, as we run that race, we will keep looking to Jesus. The fight is often won by the one who can take the blows the longest, who can stand the ground and take the pounding. If you keep your eyes on your wife, you men will never stray. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will win the race. You can't do everything, but you can do some things. You can keep going. You can take one more step. You can take the next step, can't you? When you think you're finished and you can't finish your race, you can last at least one more day, can't you? Or one more hour? Or one more minute? Someone has said, life is hard by the yard, but by the inch, it's a cinch. Jesus answered me. He said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. So what do? Remember the words of Jude? We contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep yourself in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I wanted Jesus to tell me how he would come and live in me. But instead he told me something much better. He told me when he comes. When he comes is when we don't forsake him. When he comes is when we endure. When he comes is when we take the next step. When he comes is when we obey his commandments and keep his word. When he comes is when we are faithful to him and he is faithful to us. When he comes is when we pick the spot where we're going to be fastened, and that spot is him. We're going to belong to him. We're going to be attached to him. We're going to follow him. We're going to keep our eyes on him. We're going to speak his words and do his commandments because he is the Lord. Don't worry about me. I'm fixed with Jesus. And when this is over, I'm still going to be with him. Don't worry about me, Judas tells us, because I'm firmly attached to him. And our Father, who art in heaven, loves me. And he will come and make his home with me. Well, we'll forever be changed by that conversation. But we should be changed. We should know that it's never a matter of how God does what he does. He's God. It's a matter of what we do and where our eyes are fixed. The truth is, we're going to go where we look. We're going to believe what we want to believe. And we're going to obey what we want to obey. And these men, these men that Jesus picked, three groups of brothers, isn't that something? These men who were the most unlikely people you would ever imagine made a decision. Sometimes we sing about it. We sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's what they did. Peter one time said, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And over again, they tell us the same thing. The answer to every question is be attached to Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. He tells us his commandments are not to make us sad or to hurt us, but they're to help us. And we believe that, and we love him, and because of that, we are fixed firmly to him, that where he is, that's where we are. What we'll look like in heaven will be like him. The home that he has prepared, he made a room for us. It's all a promise that we live by, and we fix ourselves to him. One guy named Judas among the 12 quit, but not Thaddeus. He was steadfast, and not his namesake, Jude, who reminds us of what it means to contend for the faith. And we, too, have this great opportunity to follow in their example, to follow our Lord who never quit on us and who wants us to be with him forever. If you love me, you love the Father, and the Father loves you. And we come and make our abode, our homestead with you. What a promise. What a hope. If this doesn't sound like you, it can. And it can be that way starting right now. Won't you come to Jesus while we stand and sing?